So again, let's when it comes to Parsha Zachor. So number one, we start with the question of what exactly is Parsha Zachor's source, that you have an obligation to have it a special Kriya Satorah for Parsha Zachor. And number two is understanding the nature of Parsha Zachor. So when you go through the question of what is the source of Parsha Zachor, so we find this basic assumption in the Shulchan Aruch. And that Parsha Zachor is Doraisa. No, why should we assume that Parsha Zachor is Doraisa? I mean, Parsha Shkalim is not Doraisa. Parsha Sachodesh is not Doraisa. There is a fascinating machlokas about Parsha's Para, but it seems like many assume, like the Vilna Gaon, for example, that even those who have mentioned that Parsha's Para is Doraisa, including the Shulchan Aruch, who's amongst those people, who says, Yesh Omen, that Parsha's Para is Doraisa, it's very hard to understand. Vilna Gaon assumes there must be some toes, sofer, along the way, where people were under the impression that Parshas Parah is Doraisa, but maybe tasted that Parshas Zachor is Doraisa. Now, what is true about the mitzvah of Zechiras, Amaisa Amalek? That's a mitzvah Doraisa. That's not denied. That's undeniable. That's a pasuk in Chumash. Zachoras Aisa Shar Asalcha Amalek. But Derek was asking Mitzrayim, the very beginning of Parshas Zachor, commands us to remember what Amalek did to us. That much is not the question. The question is, why Mehekatesi that Parshas Zachor is Doraisa? Why should we assume that there's a mitzvah Doraisa that Dafka read Parshas Zachor? Is that even true? Now, we understand there is a mitzvah of Zachor that might be being fulfilled through hearing Parshas Zachor. That might very well be a kiyum of a mitzvah Doraisa. But to say there's a chiyuv Mida Araisa to lane Parsha Zachor, is there any other Kriya Satorah of a year that's actually considered to be Doraisa? Is it clear that there's a need for a minion, Mida Araisa? Am I not Yotze the Mitzvah Doraisa when I talk about it right now? We went through the Chumash. I went my own. I wanted to open up Parsha's Kitetz, and I went to the end, and I decided to read the, what is it, 3-4 Pesukim? It's 3 Pesukim, but one of them is, we repeat twice because of the questionable Zecher. If I remember, those were Zohar being in Yeshiva, where there are makud on every Havara for Kriyas and for Kriyas Parsha Zachor. So then, yeah, that was a little crazy. Most assume you don't really need to do that. You're Yotze with any Havara. But some posts at least recommend you should try to hear Parsha Zachor in your Havara. We should figure out who's laning Parsha Zachor. And really test them to see if they know how to pronounce the words properly. Like Oi versus O, Suf and Tuf. All sorts of possible issues that one could arise. But the bottom line, we assume you're Yotze either way. What?
Ayin.
Oh, no, yeah. So it's interesting because in Hichos Dukhaning, the Mishnah Berurah talks about the Ayin and actually says that even though it was Farish Gemara Megillah, that a Kohen who pronounces their Ayins like an Aleph and vice versa, you shouldn't Dukhan because it's going to cause a problem. You're taking the bencher from underneath that. Thank you. So it's no longer, Bridge Berurah, it's no longer a problem because that's normal. It's normal that that's the case. So I wonder, as a Derek Agav or Shlomo Zalman is Mekil, when it comes to a toast being leaning, that if there's a pronunciation mistake, like for example, let's say the Baal Kori doesn't pronounce a Mapik Hay. So Shlomo Zalman thinks that you're still Yotzei Kriyas Torah. But the Mapik Hay, it changes the meaning of the word. It makes it possessive. It's a different word with a Mapik Hay versus not a Mapik Hay. So we have to taste that you should be Yotze, Kriyas HaTorah. If we're Makbet, correct us the Baal Kori, and even go back, when there's a mistake that's made that changes the mashmaus of the pasuk, of the word, then why is that different? So I wonder if it's a similar idea, which is that in a Hanami, if I'm not saying that Hiroshima Zalman said this, I'm suggesting, on Lefiyana side, it could be, it's not considered to be a toes when people don't normally pronounce the Mapake anyways. I mean, to be honest, like most people when they daven, or even when they land, it's, unless you have one of those guys out there who are like, the pros, you take like your Shua Katz, for example, or anybody who went through the Renat system where you were forced at gunpoint to land and without any possible mistake whatsoever. So that's different. I'm not saying that Shua Katz, he happens to have grown up in Renat, but, and he's a pro at like everything. He's awesome, Baruch Hashem. But anyway, so no one else is like Lizzo Makbet on the Mapake. Whatever. So maybe it's the same idea. All right, anyways. So going back to our story in Parsha Zachor. So Mehekhi takes the Parsha Zachor is the Raisa. That's really our question. So the Mitzvah the Raisa exists. The only question is why do we have to assume that there's Mitzvah the Raisa of Davka landing it? Be Achidus. Why is there no, am I not Yotze now? So that's the question. So yeah.
You're saying Dafka, the mitzvah, the Oraisa of hearing Zachor, or
where in the year we're reading it.
Meaning, no, so that part, that's Pasha, that's the Tachanas Ezra, that's the Tachanas Ezra.
Right.
When we do it in a Hanami. But how, meaning with the Sefer Torah, with the Minyan, that insistence that you're not Yotze the Mitzvah D'Oraisa unless it's with the Tzibur, with the Kriyas Torah, that is what many assume the question is, where does that come from? And is that necessarily true? Now, that's really the question. So when it comes to the sugya, so the sugya throughout Shas are not like black and white about this. Is there any sugya that actually implies that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to hear Kriyas HaTorah? I mean, Zakor, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Zakor is through Kriyas HaTorah. So the sugya number one is a Gemara Maseches Brachos, it comes up also from Megillah, about Shema. It's really about Kriyas Shema. When the Gemara there has the machlokes from Yossi and I guess Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, is whether or not you have to understand Shema, or whether or not you have to be motzi spasav and you have to be shomei la'aznav. So in that context, the Gemara there goes through a whole machlokas as to what the assumption is going into, before you get to Kriyat Shema, do we assume that the Torah is meant to be read davka b'lashon HaKodesh? In other words, when the pasuk says v'hayu, v'hayu advar me'ele, so v'hayu is b'vayosun yehiyu, that you have to say Shema as it is. Meaning there's something, you have to say davka that way. Okay, that's a question by Lashon Kodesh. Does that be said by Lashon Kodesh? Can it be Yotzei Kriyas Shema, not in Lashon Kodesh? So when it says Vahayu, like it has to be read in this way, what's our starting point? Meaning, is there something that's unique to Shema? So if there's something unique to Shema, so this is part of the Machlokas over there, do we assume that the Torah was basically always meant to be said by Lashon Kodesh, Davka, or not? So on that Gemara, Tosfos asks the following. Where else is this relevant? Where else do you have a relevant kriya d'oraisa other than the mitzvah of kriya shema? That reading these psukim, specifically reading certain psukim in the Torah, is a mitzvah d'oraisa that it would matter, whether or not the assumption going in is to dafka b'lashon kodesh or not b'lashon kodesh. Okay. So, excellent. So that's also on the list. The Tosfos also mentions bikurim because I'm vidoy meiser, but that's where Tosfos mentions. Well, parsha zachor. Meaning the only kriya. Because Rashi on that Gemara, Rashi actually says that, the Gemara is referring to what's the Kriya that we would normally do? Kriya Satorah, in general. And Tosfos says, Kriya Satorah in general is not Torah, so, except for Zohar. See, that's where you see Tosfos clearly assume, Kriya Satorah is the Raisa, meaning Zohar. Reading Zohar with the Sefer Torah is the Raisa. And it's befeirish from the Rush. The Rush is in commenting on the Gemara that comes up in Gittin, and it's also Gemara in Brachos. That's why I think by Rebbe Eliezer, who freed his Eved Knaini, because they needed a minion. There are 9 guys, and a never Kanani, and never Kanani cannot be Mustar of 2 minutes. So what do you do? Mr. Shakar is ever Kanani. So what does Umar ask? That's Asr. You're not allowed to be Mishakar and never Kanani. It's an Asr. The Pasuk says, it's meant to be like an Achuzah. It's meant to be a Yerusha. So you're not allowed to be Mishakar or ever Kanani. So Umar responds, Mitzvah the Rabbim Shiny. Even though it's like a Mitzvah Baba Avera, you're trying to have a minion without it. So that's what the Gemara says. Mitzvah the Rabbim. It's a very special mitzvah. Mitzvah the Rabbim. What's the mitzvah the Rabbim? So Rashi and the Rush say the mitzvah the Rabbim that needs a minion is, here's the Rush's point. He says, don't tell me that dafka for a mitzvah the Araisa that needs a minion. That's what the Gemara is referring to. Says the Rush, no, even a mitzvah the Rabbanim, like davening with the minion, being able to say Kedusha, meaning you'll fulfill the mitzvah of v'nikdash b'soch b'nei Yisrael. So the ability to say Kedusha, that's very nice, but that's not to say Kedusha in the context of tefillah, it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanon. You might be, again, there might be a kiyum d'oraisa of Kiddush Hashem, but that's not a chiyuv d'oraisa, it's a chiyuv d'rabbanon. And nonetheless, because it's a mitzvah d'rabbim, you're allowed to be mashakar or erekneini. But what does the Rush use as an example of, don't tell me that the Gemara is referring to a need for a minyan for a mitzvah d'oraisa, like Parsha Zachor, no, even not Parsha Zachor. Even for a mitzvah d'rabim, that's the Rabbanon, like Tefillah B'tzibur, is good enough. You see, from the again, there's like it's a Derech Agav. The Rush says that Kriyas is Parsha Zachor, but the minion, mitzvah d'oraisa. So when you put the Tosfos and put the Rush together, meaning it's not, the mitzvah d'oraisa is Mikra of Kriyas Parsha Zachor, B'tzibur, Sefer Torah, that's the mitzvah d'oraisa. And that's why now you understand the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, the Halacha, Yesh Omrim, Sheparsa Zachor, is Chayv L'Kros Min D'Oraisa. And therefore the Machaber says, therefore if you live out in the villages, and you don't normally have a Sefer Torah, you don't normally hear, Kriyas HaTorah, you got to make an effort to go into the cities to hear, for that Shabbos, you find someone to stay up for Shabbos, and you go to the cities to hear Parsha Zachor. Ooh. But the Machaber said, Yesh Omrim. He doesn't quote anybody who disagrees, he just says, Yesh Omrim. Is there a Yesh Omrim who doesn't insist that Parsha Zachor is Doraisa. It's beferish in the Rambam. It's beferish in the Rambam. Mamish, beferish. When the Rambam describes him, say, for a mitzvah, the mitzvah says, say, oh, Avagaz Machias Amalek, and then Zachiras Amalek, the Rambam says, the mitzvah, the score, he uses a very important word. Tamid. You have a constant mitzvah to remember what Amalek did to us in order to awaken our eva, our hatred towards them, etc., etc. There's no mention in the Rambam in this context, certainly not in the context of Hilchos Malachim, where the Rambam Parakei of Hilchos Malachim, where he talks about the mitzvah of Machias, Amalek and Machias Shavas Abimin, there's no mention of Zechira at all in Sefer Torah. He mentions it, I think, in Hilchos Tefillah, where he talks about like, the other Parshios, the Dal Parshios. Dal Parshios comes up. Yeah, in Achram, it's one of the Dal Parshios. And there's no doubt that there is a mitzvah d'oraisa of saying Zachor, of being Zocher, Ma'aseh Amalek. For the Rambam, there's no indication that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of Talein, Parsha Zachor. No. But through the Takanos, the Takanos Ezra, to have the Dala Parshios and for them to be placed where they're placed. So in Achram, that's a very old Takana from the days of the Mishnah. And Mamela, that's true. You could be fulfilling Zachor. But it's not a chi of d'oraisa to dafka hear Parsha Zachor in a minyan. With the Sefer Torah, and Lachor, you see that from the Ramah. The Ramah says, "Onto that Shulchan Aruch, if you have no way of getting to a Sefer Torah, then what? Im ef shul lehem lavo, b'kama kom yizaru lekroisam. You should at least read it at home. Beniginasam uva ta'amam. Now that addition of Ishadav Kolein it. Now he assumes that everybody has a Sefer Torah. That's not crazy. That's really ideal. That was the mitzvah d'oraisa. No." We're all supposed to have a Sefer Torah. But we don't know, okay, now, I'm not sure what does he mean by adding that, like, he's dafka shalain it. So, it's hard to say that Ramah's assuming that we're talking about where everybody says their own Sefer Torah. But certainly, is that like a what? What is Ramah doing there? Is he saying, Atmi derabanan, you're chayiv to hear it with the minyan in shul, with the Sefer Torah. But if you can't fulfill the mitzvah derabanan on Shabbos Zachor, at least fulfill the mitzvah deraisa. I mean, at least do the mitzvah as best as you can. You mean you're yotzi the mitzvah d'oraisa by reading Parsha Zachor? There's no doubt about it. Is that what the Rambam means, or is it kind of like a shalot tishtakach teiras Parsha Zachor kind of thing?
So anything to do with like if you can't do the yidum midos, but the minyan you should at least read.
That's different because that's a dover. That's like it's like a dover shabakdusha. So mameila you can't do it.
Right. So does it elevate it to more?
No, it's not a dover shabakdusha. I mean, you could say that it is. You could say that it needs a minyan, right. And that without a minyan. It's a strikeout. You have nothing. But the Ramah's obviously not saying that. The Ramah's saying...
Right, so I'm saying this is what I'm saying, that by the fact that you should
it's not the win, same. I don't think so, because that's a good question, because you can't say that pasukim in the Torah that are otherwise not used as a form of tefillah, like the Yugim Midas of Rachamim, that's the status of a Darshan Vakdusha that you can't say without saying it as a pasukim. The whole chap of that, of the Yugim Midas of Rachamim, is that you're not even saying them as pasukim, because it's not even one, or it's not two full pasukim, it's a pasuk and a half. Right, and not only that, you're davening it. It's part of a tefillah. The way to be allowed to say it without a minyan is davka by saying it b'toiras Torah and not b'toiras tefillah. Parsha Zachor is meant to be said b'toiras Torah. So exactly, that's why I don't think that's the same. Yeah. Oh, so l'chayre, there's a lot to be talked about the mitzvah d'oraisa. But the mitzvah d'oraisa is on its own. And midrabanan, there's a need to say Dafka this time of year, Sefer Torah in the Minyan. Or that is actually, in fact, at least the Sefer Torah in the Minyan part is built into the actual basic mitzvah d'oraisa. Now that is going to be very important in light of the following question. We're going to talk about two very, very interesting nafkamina of the next question. The next fundamental question is the nature of Parsha Zachor and how it relates to who is or is not included in this mitzvah. One of the most famous issues that comes up by Parsha Zachor is... Are nashim in fact chayavos? Now every time we have this, it's a mess. Having to navigate any normal Shabbos morning is hard enough, and then all of a sudden you throw into the wrench. Oh, how is my wife going to come to shul? You know, with baby, you can hear the baby crying in the background now. For those who are listening, which is probably nobody. If you are listening and you heard me say that, feel free to call me out on that. But I'm confident. I'm confident in this one. Adaret, I love you. Anyways, so it's a lot more fun when you're here. It's always more fun. There's food on the table. If you want a banana schweitzer, there's food. Yeah, always more fun. There's pictures of Donnie from when he was like little Donnie. From Anche. There's garlic mayo from Chickie's. There's a lot of stuff going on here. You want a grape? Some grapes left. Some things, but you don't get these things when you're listening. Okay, great. Go ahead. Anyway, so our Nashim Chayav is in Parsha Zachor. That's question number one. And then that's going to be also lead to the following question. What do you do if you miss Parsha Zachor? And then that you'll see, we'll point out all those two things. Anyway, wow, for everybody. We'll see how those things are correct. Let's go with the second one first for fun. Let's start with that one. If a person has to choose, a person lives out in the middle of nowhere, they don't have a Sefer Torah, and they have to go to the city. They can only go once. And they're not able to make it for both Purim and Parshas Zachor. Now this year, that's easier, because it's Motzei Shabbos. So it's like, you're just there. But when it comes to Motzei, however, it's not, you know, assuming that Purim wasn't Motzei Shabbos, Parshas Zachor wasn't a few hours earlier, so then if you had to choose between Parshas Zachor and Vikra Megillah, what do you think you should do?
Zachor.
Why?
It's D'oraisa.
Ah. But if it's not really D'oraisa to hear it with a minion with the Sefer Torah, and you can fulfill the mitzvah D'oraisa, two things. I can fulfill the mitzvah D'oraisa at home, and or I could also fulfill the mitzvah D'oraisa, maybe Parshas Kitetze. But I'm going to light it again in a few months from now, in the end of the summer. It's going to come back. So is it so, I mean, like, is it really so simple that, like, I have to hear it now? And Akanami, if anything, maybe everybody will agree that, yeah, the Ikar Takana is to hear Parshas Zachor now. Shab is a Parshas Zachor. But I can't make up Megillah. I can't make up Mikra Megillah. So maybe for that reason alone, I should hear Mikra Megillah. And I would even add. Mikra Megillah might be more chashuv than Parshas Zachor if you assume that the Kriya of Zachor B'Sefer Torah is only the Rabbanah. Let's say the Shittas of Rambam. There's no mitzvah d'oraisa to lay in Parshas Zachor. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to be Zachor, to remember. There's a mitzvah, perhaps, from Divrei Kabbalah, to lay Mikra Megillah. According to many, it's like Turi Eben, Tzachina, and the Nodi Behuda, have the chap that Mikra Megillah is Divrei Kabbalah, Davka, when? During the day.
Okay.
There's a machalik between nighttime and daytime. But either way, the Mikra Megillah, daytime, Bayom, might in fact be Divrei Kabbalah, more than in just in Dirabbanan. Kriyas Parshas Zachor with the Sefer Torah of the Minyan, that might only be Midrabanan. Nonetheless, the Shulman Sadeshin thinks that, no, you go with Parshas Zachor. Says the Shulman Sadeshin, if I have to choose between Mikra Megillah with the Minyan, it's not like I'm going to miss Megillah, it's really with the Minyan. If I have to choose between Zachor with the Minyan and Sefer Torah, or Megillah with the Minyan, I should go with Zachor. That's what the Shulman Sadeshin says, because again, L'chaira, along the lines of the Rush, or just it could be that Megillah, it's nice to have a minion, but you don't need a minion. By Parshas Zachor, to be Yotei, whatever level, Midrabanan, Midaraisa, you need a minion to fulfill the mitzvah in its proper manner. So therefore, he says you should go with Parshas Zachor. That's where the Magen Avraham says, I don't think that makes sense. Why is the Truman Sedeshin insistent that you have to go to shul for Parshas Zachor, and you're going to lose out on Mikra Megillah with the minion, when it turns out, what's the Magen Avraham's Kaddish? I can chop two birds with one stone by going to shul on Purim, because isn't it true that if I go to shul on Purim, I'm going to hear Parshas B'Shalach, and I'm going to the only nine pasuk laning of a non of a, you know, nine pasukim, which is less than 10. Now, for those who don't know what I mean by that, and I'm assuming that I'm simply telling you very basic math. No. There is more to it than just 9 is less than 10. That's true. It's also less than a lot of numbers, like all the numbers above it. However, the from Ezra, when Ezra Sofer was Misaki in Kriyas HaTorah on Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha, it was a minimum of 10 psukim overall with 3 aliyahs, 3 psukim each. Again, part of that is from the original Takana from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ezra Lachor added the 10 psukim. That's the way the Rambam presents it, as well as adding a Meturgamon. Each aliyah had to have 3 psukim. You know, the sort of details were added by Ezra. So the only Nafkimin, Taisus and Megillah points out, what about by Purim morning? Parshas HaMalek is exactly 9 psukim. It's the whole Indian. The Indian's only 9 psukim, so it's fine. 9 psukim is good enough, and that's what we do. So I'm not Yosef, and I hear Parshas B'Shalach, the end of B'Shalach, about the actual story. Says the Magen Avraham, you're Yosef even with that. In a Chanami, there was a takana to read in Shul on Shabbos, Parshas Zachor, but if you missed it, go to Shul on Purim morning, and you'll be Yosef. Maybe it's not the ideal mitzvah, it's not the way that the Takanas Chachamim was, but you're still Yosef, Parshas Zachor, by hearing it in Shul on Purim morning from the end of B'Shalach. Kacha Omer Amagen Avraham. Omer Mishnah Brura, I'm going to defend the Truman Sedeshan. I don't think the Magen Avraham is correct, because there's something fundamentally missing in Parshas B'Shalach that you have in Parshas Zachor. What's the difference between the two Parshios in terms of the ending? Now, the story ends the same way. They attacked us. It was terrible. But, obviously, we won the battle. Yeah, we know Yeshua wins the battle. But what's missing from the Pesukim in B'Shalach that's in the Pesukim in Kitetze? It's a very, very nuance of two words that come up that are almost the same.
Shouldn't forget.
Mm-hmm. It's not, well, it's true also, the Lo Tishkak is also added, that's true. But in terms of whose obligation is it to destroy a Malek, it says in Parsha Zachor, what? Kisimcha, right? What is it? And I have to go through the whole thing to figure it out. You'll get there. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Timcha, Zekar Malik, Lo Tishkach. Timcha. It's talking, that's where there's an obligation for us to destroy a Malik. In Parshas, B'shalach, it says, Macho Emcha. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I will destroy a Malik. Meaning, door to door, this is, you know, an ongoing battle, you know, spiritual battle that Kodesh Baruch Hu declares, I'm going to destroy a Malik. That's door to door. There's no obligation for us to destroy a Malik in Parshas B'shalach. Says the Mishnah Berurah, maybe you have to be Yotzi Parshas Zachor Dafka by hearing about not only what they did to us, but part of Parshas Zachor is the obligation for us to do Mechiyas Malik. Therefore, you're not Yotzei Mishalach. You have to hear from Kitetze, where there's a mentioning of the actual obligation to do Mechiyas Amalek. But where does that come from? Why is that necessarily true? And that is based off, it's very Meduic in the Rambam this way, when the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah describes the mitzvah, I think he quotes the Rambam, no? No, he doesn't really quote the Rambam, but he certainly paraphrases what the Rambam says. It's very similar to the Rambam, where the Rambam also says that again, Parsha Zohar is meant to awaken the Eva that we're supposed to have for them, and that we should be awakened to go ahead and battle them. And the Sefer HaChinuch says the same thing. The purpose of Parsha Zohar, it's not merely to remember the evil that they did to us, but it is meant to almost be the call to action, to always have that constant memory of what they did to us in our minds and hearts so that we are able to fulfill the next step, to destroy, to wipe out Amalek. And it's for that very reason that the Sefer HaChinuch says, Achirish, if the mitzvah of Parsha Zachor is to, if Zachor is to go ahead and then fulfill Mechiyas Amalek, what then can I now conclude? The mitzvah Mechiyas Amalek is going to very much define the mitzvah of Zachor. If you're not chayiv to wipe out Amalek, then you're not going to be chayiv to remember what Amalek did. And therefore, says the Sefer HaChinuch, I think, Linnaeus Taiti, who is now pater from the mitzvah of Zachor? Nashim. Nashim don't go fight. They're not Bnei Mechama. That's the first Gemara where? It's on that base and what Mesechta? Say Kiddushin. Excellent. Very good. So it's on that base and Kiddushin. The Gemara there talks about the Lashon of Derech. Lashon of Derech, it comes up in there also. The main Gemara comes up also, of course, by Yinivamos, and the Puravu Sugis. That's where the Gemara Darshan is, that men are chayim in Puravu, and not women, because Puravu, you know, Miluas Ars Vichivshua, so Ma Derech Ish is Lechachvosh, and not Derech Isha. So that's not just like a statement that happens to be a very interesting roundabout limud to say that women are Pturos from Puravu. No, that's true. And if women don't fight, I mean, physically they don't fight, Mimelo, they're Pturos from not only fighting, they're Pater from Zachor. Now, who is bothered by that Mechas Chinuch? I gave it away. The Chinuch is attacked by his very, very good friends who lived many hundred years later. Mechas Chinuch was only like the past 150 years. Sefer HaChinuch, we don't know who he was, but he was certainly in the days of the Ramban, right around the times of the Ramban. Yeah, they claim the Ra, many scholars say it's not the Ra. He would have told us his name, he wanted us to know. So be it. The Sefer HaChinuch. So the Sefer HaChinuch is attacked by his friend, the Mechas Chinuch, and says, What's he talking about? Mechi Tesi. Two Gevaldik Nekutos that he makes. Who came down from Har Sinai and told the Sefer HaChinuch that the definition, the nature, the reason for the mitzvah of Zachor is dafka to go ahead and now destroy Amalek? You're telling me you have Ruch HaKodesh that said that the tam of a mitzvah of Zachor is in order to fulfill Mechiyas Amalek? Maybe it's two separate mitzvahs that are not related. Obviously, they're related. You can't argue that they're not related. But to say with such certainty that the reason for Parshas Zachor is in order to essentially bring us to Mechiyas Amalek? No, lav dafka. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's meant to have a particular impact on the psyche of all of Bnei Yisrael. Regardless of the fact that we have a mitzvah to destroy Amalek. In Echanami, there's no doubt that there's a somewhat of a connection. They're related to Amalek, Shoin. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the two are so connected. It almost, it's like Darshan Taima Dekra. Like, who says it? That's the reason for the mitzvah. And you're even going to tell me that, therefore, women are pturos. Why should that be? That's question number one. Question number two, he says, is it even true that women wouldn't fight against the Malik? Everybody knows the Mishnah and Sota. What's the Mishnah and Sota say? By a Mechamas mitzvah, what are the differences between a Mechamas mitzvah and a Mechamas Rishos? Mechamas mitzvah. Chasson mechupasa, not wait, kalam mechupasa. Imagine the scene. To go fight against Hamas, potentially a Malik. likely a malik, not biologically, but in terms of their spiritual nature, potentially at least. So what, you know, you imagine the gala with their white gown, you know, the white gown going out there and like with their uzi, you know, singing Am Yisrael Chayel, you know, getting out, let's go. Gaval gets Sarit Hadad out there, getting these famous Israeli ladies out there, let's go. Everybody. No, I mean, their taka are women soldiers. I'm not really sure why. And it's like jump to like non, like Israel, like Israelis non-soldiers. Like, yeah, a lot of Israeli women fighting the army anyways. Shkoyach, so okay, fine. So maybe they are. That's what it's a mechadish with Archayavos. So on that, Nikuda, that's an easy response. That's what? No, they participate. Mm. Participate is not the same as fight. It's not the same thing. They could be the what? As Rabbi Soloveitchik quoted from his mother-in-law, Allah Shalom, that she said in describing the Six-Day War, that when the other went to go fight, like the women were like mamas lining up to just give them sandwiches. Yeah, that's not as important. Yeah, they're passionate. They have a role. Everybody has a role. You got to do your part. But that's not necessarily to say that they fight. No, okay, so that part we can put aside, even though there's a lot more to talk about that. Is that how to understand that Gemara? Kalam and Chuposo. If that's true by Kalam and Chuposo, it's not true by the Haredi. So, you know, the Haredi was learning in yeshiva for 5 minutes a day. He was getting paid, you know, whatever. You know, the Adkan politics. I'm saying it's a shayla. It's a good question just to understand the halakha without, you know, necessarily getting into the politics. So, but Ava, to know what the real halakha would be. So, bottom line, though, is that the Chayra, it's not a bad taina. Like, why is the Sefer HaKinach so convinced that the two are Tali Zebazah? So, the Chayra, it's not so crazy. It's not so crazy at all for a number of reasons. If the Pasuk itself says, in the context of Zachor, you know, Simcha Zechor HaMalik, Mitachas HaShemayim, then it's not so crazy to say that that's what the Torah is telling you. And it's a very, very important skill to have in learning to know the difference between the tam of the mitzvah, which is secondary. It's like nice philosophy. You know, we could talk about what the reason behind this mitzvah is or isn't. And then there's the geder of the mitzvah. The geder of the mitzvah is not the philosophical reason, it's the defining characteristics of the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Parshas Zachor is defined by another mitzvah, namely the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMalek. So you have to be chayv in Mechiyas HaMalek to fit the chiyuv of Zachor. Rozovsky gave a great parallel for this, and he pointed out that the Sefer Kinuch does the same thing. Is that what's the relationship between the mitzvah of learning Torah and writing a Sefer Torah? I don't know. I'm saying they're both mitzvahs. So back in the day, that's how they would learn Tanakh. They needed Sfarim. But, okay, Shkoyach, granted, but like it could be that the Torah wants us to write Sefer Torah to make Torah accessible. But that doesn't necessarily have to be linked to my chiyuv of learning. In other words, can a woman write? Is a woman able to write a Sefer Torah? Now, you may remember, this was in fact a shayla of Ali Mandelstam back in Parshas Hazinu time, when the mitzvah of writing Sefer Torah comes up, in Parshas Vayelach rather, V'yata kisru l'cham as Hashir Razosim. So Ali asked that very question: is a woman's Sefer Torah kosher? So I was like, ooh. So that's v'al the kasher, that's a sugya. And the shayla goes, are you? I think he talks about it. I think he says yes. But the Sefer Kinnach says no. Because she's not chayav in learning. She has a lower level chayav Talmud Torah. Whatever, let's just make it blanket statement, like the Gemara Kiddushin, no chayav Talmud Torah, whatever that means. The Mela, she's no mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. I could have said there are two standalone mitzvahs. No. There are Tali Zebazah, it's a pasuk. We also kiss the Hamas Shira Azos. We what? We also kiss the Hamas Shira Azos. We Lamda, Esben Israel. We have a Sima Bifim. Lambda has been Israel. Okay, you mean it's part of the mitzvah. The Torah is telling you that that's built into the mitzvah is in order to learn the Mela. That's going to be defining the mitzvah, even though they're two separate mitzvahs. I mean, there's two separate mitzvahs in the Torah: to write a separate Torah and to learn Torah. That doesn't change the fact that the two can be totally zebazah on a certain level. Okay, good. So that's the Sefer HaKinuch. Very good. Now that notion that the mitzvah of Zachor is so totally on Mechiyas HaMalek, it raises another shayla. Who else is potter from finding a war? Potentially potter from fighting war.
Somebody who plans a new.
Okay. Those are yachidim. Those are circumstantial. You can't say categorically that he's potter because, like, okay, so this year he's potter, next year he's not. They're always potter. That's not a question. Who?
Is that
a cop? Yeah, but he's potter from one mitzvah, so that's not a question either. What about Kohanim? Mm. What about Kohanim? The chayav to fight in the war. I mean, it's a famous Rambam. This is like one of the most world-famous Rambams about Kolels. It's not about Kolels. It's about being Sheva Levi. Sheva Levi's. Chayav Potter from Malkam. They're meant to have a Chiluk in Ruchnius. They don't fight. And the Rambam Shri is, they don't fight in war. Ooh. So you have to go back to Ari Masaryk. Okay, Ari Masaryk's Shetel from the Mitzvah gets a lot of shout-outs because it should. And he mentioned the Rav Chaim Kineski made this art in the Rambam. How could the Rambam say that the Bnei Levi come to Farim, come to Beferish Gemara Kedushin, that asks as to whether or not a Kohen is able to have a